So we're on the top of Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, three lines down. Hocham Mayaskino. Let's just remind ourselves that we're trying to understand if there's kedushas sefer to a kamia, which means you're not allowed to go into a Beis Hakiseh. How would they allow one to carry a kamia on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah Rabin? We should be afraid that he might take the kamia off, leave it outside the Beis HaKiseh, go in, and on his way out, he might carry it Dalet Amos. Saram, how could he allow such a thing? And the Gemara answers, Hachamay Askinon b'mechupe b'or. And we talk about a kamia that's covered with some sort of a of an or, which means some sort of a skin. And therefore, once it's covered, then there's no longer an Issur to go into the Beis HaKiseh because it's covered. And that's not a Gnai, even though there are Shemus written on the Kamiya. When he goes to the Beis HaKiseh with a Kamiya that's covered. And it doesn't have to be Mechusa Ba'ar, it could be Mechusa B'Dover Acher, Afilu Beged, he could even cover it over with one of his garments that he's wearing. And that's based on the fact that Gemara later on compares the din of kamios in a Beis HaKiseh, din of tefillin. And in tefillin, as the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Aruch Chaim Simon Mem Gimel, you're allowed to go into a Beis HaKiseh if you cover your tefillin with a beged. And the Gemara says that there's no need to take off your kamiya when you go into Beis HaKnesset, Beis HaKiseh, even though it has Kedusha, in a case where he covers it with his beged or something else. Therefore, the Chachamim, we're not Choshesh, maybe he'll carry it, Dalet Amos, in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. So a person wearing an amulet doesn't have to remove it before he goes into the latrine, and all he has to do is cover the amulet, and he doesn't have to take it off. So therefore, if the Mishnah permits going into Rosh Hashanah Rabbah and wearing an amulet, it doesn't prove that it's devoid of Kedusha Sefer. It could be it has Kedusha Sefer, but you can enter into a Beis HaKiseh without taking off the amulet, leaving it outside. If it's in a casing, that might also be sufficient. Again, it all depends upon what that casing is. It has to be a casing that's not often removed. Like, for example, the covering of an amulet with some sort of a sewing device, you know, sewing stitches. And in all these cases, you're allowed to bring the kamiya into a Beis HaKiseh. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Vare tefillin de mechupa or, tefillin themselves, by definition, all the parshiyos of tefillin that are put into the various batim are made of batim of or. So the parchments, therefore, are covered with or. Visanya, nevertheless, it says in a brisa, nichnas of Beis HaKiseh, when he has to go into Beis HaKiseh, choletz tefillin, he's got to take off his tefillin, berichuk arba amos, he has to leave them a distance of 4 amos away from where the Beis HaKiseh is, where he's using the Beis HaKiseh, v'nichnas, and only then can he go into the Beis HaKiseh. So why is it that in the case of Kamiya, the Gemara's answer was that despite the Kedushas Kamiya with the Shemos, he's allowed to take the Kamiya if he covers it with R into a Beis HaKiseh, and yet in Tefillin, the Brisa says you're not allowed to go into a Beis HaKiseh with Tefillin. This despite the fact that the Tefillin, by definition, the parashas therein with the Shemos, are covered by R. Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of tefillin, the reason why the Braisa prohibits you going into the Beis HaKiseh with tefillin, that's not because of the parashios inside the batim, but mishum, but rather because of the shin which is on the shalrosh. There's a shin that protrudes on the outside skin of the, that makes up the bias of the shalrosh. And that shin has the status of a shem. And the requirement of shin and tefillin is absolute. The Amar Abaye, shin shall tefillin aloch l'moshe misinai. You know, there's no question about the shin shall tefillin. On the outside of your tefillin shall rush, you have to have the shin. And if that be the case, then because of the outside shin, which is not covered by the R that covers the parshios, that itself generates the iser of going into a Beis HaKise with tefillin on it. And since this shin is begili, Rashi says, therefore it's a gnai to go into a Beis HaKise with that shin. Furthermore, v'yomer Abaye, deles shel tefillin. In other words, in the back of the tefillin shel rosh, you have a dalid, which is called the kesher shel tefillin. Some people have a minig of having a double dalid. I'm not sure if that's the best minig, but leave it as it be. And that's halacha l'moshe misinai. So you've got now the shin on the outside of the tefillin shel rosh. You've got the dalid on the kesher shel tefillin shel rosh. And now we're going to add a third letter to the shin, and the dalit will el yud, completing the name of Hashem, or by yud shel tefillin, you have that yud which is connected to the bias of the tefillin shel yad, and it's made of a ritzua that's tied onto the tefillin, but it has the shape of a yud, and that's also halach l'moshe misinai. So there are three halachas regarding tefillin that relate respectively to the three letters of God's name, and are all halach l'moshe misinai. So we have the name Shin Dalid Yud, which is on the tefillin, and because of these three letters, we have a kedusha, and these letters are all megula, whether it's the shin on the top of the bayis of shel rosh, or it's the kesher behind, or it's the kesher shel yad, all of these are exposed, they're begili. And therefore, you're not letting go into Beis HaKise with tefillin. So with regard to kmios, if you cover the R, if you cover the kmio with an R, you're allowed to go into a Beis HaKise. And therefore, hence, you're allowed to go into a Beis, you're allowed to wear these kmios on Shabbos, even in a Rosh Hashanah. We're not afraid that you're going to take it off, even in an event that you have to use the bathroom. Now, if, let's say, the kmiya is not covered with R, the Gemara goes back to its original suffix at this point as to what the status of kmiyos is. Is that they have the status of kedusha and you're not allowed to go into Beis HaKise? And mimele, you would not be allowed to carry or attach your amulet out to your begodim on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. Or perhaps they don't have kedusha and you're allowed to go into Beis HaKise, therefore you'd be allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. And all this was left hanging in the air. I mean, we know that you're allowed to go into a Beis HaKise with a kamiya that's covered with R, but that doesn't prove a thing about a kamiya that's not covered with R, not in this way, not that way. That remains a suffix. And the Rishonim, the Poskim, the Rif, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rosh, they write that Lamaskana, there is kedusha, and you're not allowed to go into a Beis HaKise with a kamiya unless it's covered by the R. And according to the Prima Gadim, the conclusion that the Rishonim arrive at is based on the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Elahachav Mayaskinon, which is a Lashon of Vadai. It doesn't say Dilma, implying that there's still a suffix, but rather Ela, which implies that the Gemara came to a final conclusion. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lo yetze on the b'shabbos b'shiryon, v'lo b'kazda, v'lo b'magafayim. And we said that these are all different types of the outfit that the soldiers wear when they go out to battle. And the Gemara now identifies these objects. Shiryon is Rada. So if we didn't know what a Shiryon is, we certainly know what a Zrada is. Just joking. But Zrada is the top part of the armor that covers the chest. And that's called a Shiryon. Or in Aramaic, a Zrada. And Omar Rav Sanvarta, Rav says that the Kazda is a Sanvarta. Again, I'm more inclined to understand Kazda than Rav's translation into Sanvarta. But in any event, this refers to a kind of helmet. It's a leather helmet. And Kova or Tachas Kova Hamateches. So there are two helmets that he wears. The inner helmet is made of a hide or leather, and the top helmet is made of armor. And that armor is mateches, it's made of metal. Interesting, the Rambam and others say that this Kazda, which is also called Sanvarta, is none other than a Kovashel Barzel, that it actually is the helmet itself. And they quote the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, V'kova nechoshes al rosho. And then finally we get to Migafayim, which we define as shin guards, and that's based on this Gemara, Amar Rav Puzmake. And puzmake are leggings of iron that are worn around the feet during wartime, when the soldiers go out to battle. And all this is prohibited on Shabbos, since these are clothing that are designated for going out to battle. And Mimela, this would be a violation of a doraisa. No. My mistake. Let me correct myself. This would be a violation, as the Mishnah says, of a derabbanan, because there's no chiyuv chatos. And the chachamim asked it for one of two reasons. Rashi, later on in Daf Samach Dalid, seems to indicate that people might think, if they see a person dressed in armor on Shabbos, that he's going forth on the Shabbos to wage war. And although in general it might be mutter to wage war on Shabbos in defense of the country, but the onlooker might suspect that he's preparing for some sort of who knows what, some sort of private feud in a time of peace. The Chiddush Aran mentions that these items of armor were worn together to, in effect, cover the entire body and protect it from the enemy, the swords, and so forth, because the helmet covered the head, and the shiryon covered the torso, and the leggings covered the person from his waist all the way down. And here in the Masifta, they give a nice little diagram here of all these different parts of armor that are worn here by this soldier. And the Tosa Rosh, the name of the Rivas, says, "Ain derech lelovsham el b'melchama." And shalovish has melchama. If he's wearing these armors out in Rosh Hashanah, and it's not wartime, it's peacetime, domim heim lemasui. It's basically like he's carrying them. Now, the reason why this is called the levush is because of the danger of battle. Somebody might throw a spear or a sword in his direction. However, here it's domim lemasui. Again, let's be careful about the Tosa Rosh. He's not saying it's Masui, because otherwise he would be in violation of a Chiyuv Chatos, but rather Chachamim Asid this because it's Dome LeMasui. And this brings us up to the Mishnah here on Daf Samach Beis Amid Aleph. In the previous Mishnayos, there was a list of different Tachshitim different ornaments, malbushim, different apparel, different clothing that on the Torah level you're allowed to wear them. In Mishnah Rabbah, the Chacham made a gzera that you're not allowed to wear them. Our Mishnah that we're about to learn now enumerates that which is asur min haTorah, that if you would go out with them, you would be violating Meleches Hotzah min haTorah. Lo teitze isha b'machat hanekuva. So we're talking about a needle that has an eye, and it's designated for use as a sewing needle. And she sticks this needle into her beged, and she goes out. And this is going to be considered, since it has a neck of Verosha, and it's singularly dedicated for weaving, it's not a tachshit. And even though she's not holding on to the needle as she carries it, she's still chayv chatos when it's tchuva bebigda, because an uman hamotzi derech umnaso chayv. That's the Ran. A woman is considered an uman with regard to sewing, and therefore this carrying is kederech umnaso, and it's a natural carrying. It's not shalok kederka. And this sheet of the Ran is embellished by the Tosfos Yontif here on the Mishnah, and he points out to Rabbi Meir back on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, who says that an uman who carries something derech umnaso is patur. In the sugya of a chayat with his needle, he admits that here there would be a chi of chatas, because Rav Meir only patas there in the case of an uman who takes something out in order to show it to the other people. He wants to demonstrate what his occupation is, what his profession is. Here, this is the derech of an isha that she goes out with a machat, in order that it should be available and immediately accessible for weaving and sewing, to fix begadim. And this is an absolute derech hotzah gemura. Even Rabbi Meir would agree that, unlike the case of the professional who's wearing it just to show off and announce his profession, and that's a p'tur, but Rabbi Meir would agree that here there's a chiyuv, this is a complete hotzah gemura. Now, that's as far as a machat is concerned. Let's go on to talk about a ring, a tabas. V'lo b'tabas, sheyesh oleha chosev. We're talking about a signet ring that has on it a seal, and it's used to sign all sorts of documents. If we would be talking about a ring that of this sort that's used by men to sign documents, it would not be considered a tachshit for a woman, right? It's not a beautiful ornament, and therefore she's chayav chatos when she wears this ring. If on the other hand it's a ring that has no chosim on it, that would be a tachshit. And the Mishnah at the beginning of the perek, back on Daf Nun Zayin, established that she would be p'tur from chatas. The Rabbanan are afraid that maybe she would take off the ring and show it to a friend and then carry it to Alad Amas. V'lo b'kuliar. Kuliar is translated as sicha shekosheret ba maftechei chaluka, which means that we're talking about some sort of a keychain that links together many keys, and in this case it is not a tachshit. It functions for the purpose of carrying keys, and therefore this would be prohibited. Now the Gemara later on is going to explain exactly how she carries this kuliar in order to be chayev echatos. V'lo b'koveles, which is a kesher shekosher bo bosem sherecho orev. So we're talking about some sort of a bundle of spice. That's called a koveles. and there's a kind of pendulent, and they used to put spices inside the pendulent. And again, it's going to be made of some precious metal, this pendulent. Again, it's hollow inside so that we can put the spices inside. And this is a tachshit. Now, the impression you get is that this case of koveles might be an isad rabbanon if it does have the status of a tachshit. And yet, as we said at the outset, this Mishnah is enumerating those things which are a masa and you violate hotza d'oraisa. How can we understand that koveles fits in this category if it's a tachshit? And we have to assume that although it's a tachshit, but nevertheless that's fine as far as the pendant is concerned, the silver or gold pendant, but what about the spices inside the pendant that she's carrying? V'lo b'tzlochis shel palyaton, and this is some sort of a jar that she ties around her neck. It's hanging around her neck. It has oil, balsam oil in it, which has a very, very good smell. We'll see later on why she's wearing this. She's kind of covering up on another smell, but anyway. But v'im yotz, in all the cases above, if she went out into Rishus HaRabim, chayev eschatos. It's neither a malbush nor a tachshit. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Chachomim potrim. In which case, in koveles, because as we said before, koveles, which is this beautiful pendulum made of gold or silver, and it has in it spices, that would be a tachshit. So it's only an isa d'rabbanan. And slocha shel palyaton, again, we have to emphasize the fact that we're talking about some sort of a tachshit, a flask of balsam oil, and the reason why you're potter, because the Chachom are setting this up as an exception, is because this is again a tachshit. We're only afraid that she might take it off and show it to a friend and carry it to Aladam. So that's the drabbana. Now, in the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak on Daf Nun Zayin, we spoke about a tabas she'eino le'chosem. It doesn't have it's not a signet ring, which has a seal on it. And in that case, she's not chayev chatos. Here, in a case of a tabas that has a chosem, a signet ring, she's chayev eschatos. And the Gemara wants to clarify here this din in the case of a man who wears a ring. We have it clear in the two cases that we described with a woman wearing a ring. And it depends what category of ring she's wearing as to whether she violates the Dorais or the Rabbanon. Omar Ula v'chilu fe'en be'ish. With regard to these two categories of ring, the opposite is true in the case of a man. If a man goes out with a tabashi yesh alech chosem, then he's potter from chatos. Why? Because a man normally wears this kind of a tabas. But if it's tabasha ein alech chosem, then he's chayev a chatos for violating a doraisa. And Rashi explains the difference between the two. A chosem is a signet ring that's usually designated for an odom gadol. He's somehow in charge of the government or whatever it might be. And as far as ish darko lekach, this tabas that has a chosem becomes a tachshit. A woman would not usually sign or bring documents from place to place, so she didn't wear a tabas with a chosem on it. And therefore it's not a tachshit. Now in the case of a tabas that doesn't have a chosem, on the contrary, here it's the isha. A woman wears it liskashid ba as a tachshit, but not a man. So an isha goes out with this tabas is not going to be in violation of a chiv chatos, but an ish would be. So Gemara's Medayik Almakas over Ula Kol Midi the Chazi Leish Lo Chazi Leish O Midi the Chazi Leish Leish O Lo Chazi Leish. That men or women, as far as Tachshitim, are in two different worlds. Something that's designated for a woman is not worn by a man, or vice versa. And whether or not something is called a tachshit or a malbish for a man has nothing to do whether it's a tachshit or a malbish for a woman, and vice versa. We don't say that since a man would wear it as a tachshit in the case of Yesh Bo Chosem, therefore a woman is, even for a woman, it's called a tachshit. That seems pretty simple, except for a braisa. Masiv, Rav Yosef asked the kash from a braisa. Haroim, we're talking about shepherds. Yotzim, they're allowed to go out in Rishus Rav Besakim, in a very heavy kind of garment that's made to protect them from the elements when they're outdoors, because Roim are very much outdoors. And it's a malbush that's made of sack, of sackcloth, and it protects them against the rains, for example. But for lower Roim, Bilvad Amru, Elakol Adam, we're going to take a Roeh, and we're going to extrapolate and universalize that din of what is considered a malbush for a roeh for any other person. And the din is only mentioned with regard to roim, because darkon shall roim latzeis besaket. So we're talking about something that's very commonplace. But we see clearly that even a beged, which is used and designated for a certain group of people, like in this case the roim, it's considered a malbush for everyone. For any person, even if he doesn't fit into that category in that description, even though he doesn't usually wear these begodim. And this is against Ula, because in the case of Tabashi Eshal Echosem, which serves as a takshit for an ish, it should be therefore ipso facto considered as a takshit for an isha. Or in the flip side, in a Tabas, which has no chosem, which is a takshit for an isha, it should be considered a takshit for a man. And both should be potur if they go out with this tabas. And it matters which kind of tabas is, with a chosen, without a chosen. There's a little bit of a jump here, please notice, between the case of sakin, which are clothes. Again, they're made of a very heavy material, and they're unusual for if you're not a roeh, but nevertheless, they are clothes. And we're talking about malbush here. So you might set up something as a malbush because it's worn under these circumstances by this group of people. When you're talking about a takshid, that's already a different story. A takshid is not something that covers the body or protects the body. You know, maybe you could say about sakin that it's an overprotection because it's so heavy, but it definitely protects the body. It's a malbush. But takshid really is something that's subjective. I mean, would this be an ornament that men would wear? But the Gemara gives a different answer. Omar of Yosef, and we're right here, we're taking out the word Ella, based on the Marshal. Let's not derive from the Roim case that we can equate Roim with Shar B'nei Adam, and therefore all Malbushei Ish are equal for both men and women. Because Ula, who is the one who made the statement of Chilufeyim Be'isho regarding the two categories of rings, he holds that Noshim Am Bifnei Atzmon Hein. Now, what does that mean? Noshim are a separate nation unto themselves, and therefore that which is a malbush or a takshit for a man that's appropriate for a man is not the same for women, and vice versa. Roim and Shar B'nei Adam are considered am echad, but men and women are not. So there's a pasuk in the parsha of the five kings that fought against Avram, and Avram fought to save Sodom, and it says, "Vayoshev es kol arachush, v'gamis lot achiv, urachusho heshiv, v'gamis hanoshim v'es ha'am." Now that phrase, "es hanoshim v'es ha'am," implies that noshim are not included in es ha'am. If they were, there would be no need to mention noshim. So we see that Nashim are a separate entity, and they form some sort of, shall we say, community unto themselves, and that's called Am Bifnei Atzman. So the behavior patterns of a woman, especially with regard to clothing and apparel and so forth, are not in any way indicative of the parallel for men. So the Gemara says that Eisvei Abaye, we still have a question to raise, which Abaye raised to Rav Yosef from another Braisa, and that Braisa says Hamotzi Tfillin, a person finds Tfillin in the marketplace or somewhere on the road, and no one's guarding the tefillin. With regard to tefillin, we have a mitzvah, a special mitzvah of shmiras ha-tefillin because of its kedusha. Is machnisan, he can take it into the city, out of the market, into the urban area, and into his house even, but he's got to do it zug. Now, it's just like during the week, you wear only one pair of tefillin at a time. Right, one pair of tefillin at a time. It's made up of tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. And then if he has a second pair of tefillin, he'll first take off the first, and then he'll put on the second. It's the same thing that he would do during the week, he has to do on Shabbos. And put on one pair of tefillin, then come back for the second pair of tefillin. But what's interesting about the brayso for our purposes is echad ha'ish v'echad ha'isha. That this din, in order to bring in the tefillin by wearing them, out of Rishus HaRab into Rishus HaYochid, applies both to men and women equally. Iyamit Noshim Am Bifnei Atzman, if Ula is based on your Svar of Yosef, that women are a nation unto themselves as far as Malbushim are concerned, and that which is a Malbush for a man is not a Malbush for a woman, is how can you call tefillin a malbush for a woman? So the mitzvah of tefillin was incumbent upon the men, not upon the women. Hence, a man who wears tefillin is wearing a malbush. But that has no impact upon a woman who wears tefillin, because even though it's considered a malbush for a man, that's not enough to make it into a malbush for women, because noshim am bifnei atzmanahem. Now, if that be the case, how could the Braisa permit a woman to wear tefillin in Rishus HaRabim and take them in to the city, into Rishus HaYochid? It must be that women are not an Am Bifnei Atzmo, and once you call something a Malbish or a Tachshit for men, then the same categories apply, the same categorization applies for women as well. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, there the Braisa is reflective of the Shita Rabbi Meir, Kasava Rabbi Meir Lila loves Mantfilinu Vashab Lila's Mantfilinu Vashabas Mantfilinu. That basically the mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah tmidus, it's constant 24/7, the whole week long, both during the week and on Shabbos, both by day and by night. And therefore Havilei, you have to classify tefillin as mitzvah secha lozman groma, because there's no time period that's excluded from the mitzvah of tefillin. It's not in any way connected or limited by time. If women are obligated in tefillin, then kol mitzvah aseisha lo hazman groma nashim chayavos. If it's not hazman groma, mitzvah, women are obligated, and therefore the tefillin becomes a takshid for nashim, just the same as a takshid for anashim. And therefore, she could wear the tefillin and bring them from the shuk back to the house for the purpose of shmiras ha-tefillin. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah established that a woman who wears the tabash she'yesh alechosem is chayev eschatas. And you remember when we discussed this, we said we're going to have to work out exactly what the scenario is. Is she wearing the ring on her finger? Well, even if she's wearing the ring on her finger, and therefore you want to tell me, well, that's an act of carrying with regard to a tabash yesh al echosim for a woman, the Gemara says, I don't get it. That would not be a masa doraisa to generate a chiv chatas hotzokil achar yadi. In other words, since women don't generally wear this kind of tabash yesh lechosem on their finger, because, as we said over and over again, this kind of tabas that has a chosem is neither a malbush nor a takshit for women, then for her, the derech otzo would not be to wear it, but rather to carry it in her hand. So why does the Mishnah say she's chayeves chatos when she puts the ring on her finger and she carries it out? Again, a ring she yesh b'chosem, and she carries it from place to place in Rishus HaRabim. This is not called a derech hotzah. It's not the regila, the normal hotzah for a woman to carry a ring from place to place if it's a ring that has a signet. Amar Rav Yirmiya says, Be'isha gizboris askinon. Which woman, in a case of yesh lechosem, would be considered carrying it derech hotzah if she wears it? It's this very, very special woman who signs all sorts of documents, and she uses the signet ring for that. And this woman is described as a gizboris, which literally translates as someone who's in charge of the finances, an overseer. And such a woman would normally wear a signet ring exactly the way that a man would wear it, namely on her finger. She needs to sign all sorts of documents, packages, and she'll place the ring on her finger to carry from place to place. So that makes it derech hotzah v'kach. And if it's derech hotzah v'kach, then she's chayeves chatos. Now you might ask, well, if she's in that category of a gizboris, and she normally would wear this ring, so why not consider it a malbush? And here, the criterion, says Rashi, is rov noshim. Since most women that don't fit into this category of gizboris do not wear a signet ring, the ring therefore could not be considered neither a malbush nor a takshit, even though you have one woman out of 1,000, out of 1,000,000, that would find it regular, would wear it as you would wear a ring, like as a man would wear a ring with a signet on it. So that's the Gemara's answer, that on the one hand it's considered derech hotzah, because since she is a gizbar, she will place the ring on a finger. On the other hand, for other women, it's not considered neither of a levush or a tachshit, and therefore she'll be chayeves chatos. So don't tell me that since a woman doesn't wear a signet ring normally, therefore it's shalom kederech hotzav, she wears it on a finger. That is true as a general rule, but the exception to the rule is the gizboris. And that's the case that our Mishnah has in mind about a woman who's wearing a ring with a signet on it, and she's chayeves chatos. So Abai now asks the following kasha. Not Abai, but rather Rabba. Others have a gear, so Rav. Amar Rabba, teiratzta isha, but ish ma'ikala meimar. So I'm satisfied with your answer, that when the Mishnah says that if a woman wears a tabas on her finger in Rishus HaRabim and it has a chosem, she's chayeves because lav derech hotzah. But what about what Ula said? Ula said that if a man goes out with a ring and it doesn't have a chosem on it, he's chayev chatos. How do we understand that then? Why should a man be chayev chatos? This is not the normal way to put a ring she'ein bo chosem on his finger. That should be hotzah kelachar yad. Are there any men who would wear a ring without a chosem on their finger? Would you have an answer that would parallel the case of gizboris that we just had? Elama Rava. Rava wants to say the following, that both in the case of wearing a tabas, and both for men and for women, that's considered derech hotzah. And that applies even if they're wearing a tabas, which would not be a tachshit for them. Why? Because pa'omim she adam nosein leishto tabas sheyesh alei chosem lo licha lekufsa. A man pampers his wife, buys her a wonderful gift, a tabas, and it happens to be that it has a chosem on it. So why would he buy that as a gift? So the Gemara says, nay, he's not buying it as a gift. The Gemara says, lo licha lekufsa. He's asking his wife to take this very special ring that has a chosem and place it into a kufsa. That's where they store it and that's where they lock it up. Ve'ishto minichasa biyada, so she'll carry the ring in her hand. And here the word biyada means in her finger, so she's wearing it around her finger. Again, she could have carried it in her hand, but instead she wears it in her finger, around her finger, achimagas lekufsa, until she finally gets to the kufsa. So we see that it is actually, shall we say, common, or I shouldn't say common, but anyway, frequent or plausible for a woman to end up wearing on a finger a tabashi eshalei chosem, because she's helping out her husband and bringing it to where it has to get to. So therefore, says Rava, we now have a case where a woman's wearing a ring with a signet on it, and yet it's considered derech hotzah. Now we go to the flip side. The upa'omim sha'isha nosenes labayla tabas sheino lechosim l'licha itzal uma l'saken. The Gemara has this hechitimtza, where a woman has a tabas, which is a piece of jewelry. It has no chosim on it. She sends it with her husband to have it fixed at the uman, at the artisan, the expert who knows how to fix these metal problems. So again, it's possible that a man on his way to the uman, on behalf of his wife, with a tabas she'ein aleha chosem, he will wear it around his finger. So we have now two conclusions here. We have a derech ha'ish lulbosh tabas she'ein aleha chosem, in the case where he's carrying it on behalf of his wife. And we have an isha, which is darka lulbosh tabash yeshalei chosim, in a case where her husband sent her to place it into the kufsa. And therefore, all the hotzos of tabas are considered kider chotzah. And if they take it out in a way that it's not a takshit, then it's der chotzah, and engenders and precipitates a chiyuv chatas. So, for example, a tabas sheyesh alei chosem is not a tachshit for an isha, but nevertheless it's considered derech hotzah when she wears it around her finger, and she'll be there for chai v'chatos. And a tabas she'ein alei chosem is considered derech hotzah for a man in that based on that scenario that we mentioned before, that she sent him to bring the tabas to the human, he wears it around his finger, and therefore he'd be chai v'chatos for a derech hotzah. Now the Mishnah goes on to discuss Kuliar and Chovelis, and she's not allowed to go out with these two items. My Kuliar, what exactly is a Kuliar? Amar Rav, Machbanta. Machbanta is Karsei Kesef O Zahav Shemechaberes Imam Es Maftechei Chaluka. These are made of either silver or gold. Obviously, it's a beautiful tachshit, and it links up together, you know, different open ends of a woman's blouse. Like, it's sort of like a button or a fasten, you know, a clip of some sort, and closes the blouse. But she does it with a beautiful ornament. And Rav, okay, so that's Mechabanta, and in this case, she would be in violation of a chiyuv chatos for this kabanta. And we have to figure out exactly why this is a chatos. why isn't this a tachshit? Rashi says, ain't a tachshit ala masa? I guess when she's wearing this machbanta, she's not closing the open ends of the garment, but rather it's tachuv bebigda bechut. So the translation here seems to indicate, and I'm reading here from the Masifta, that it is pierced into abgadim, sort of like with a sewing thread, and therefore it's not considered a tachshit. This is a pella, he says, because it's counterintuitive. He says because it's only worn in this particular fashion, not to keep a blouse closed like buttons, but rather to show off her wealth. V'davar asi laharos ashirus, if it doesn't function at all, eino nechshav kitachshit. I mean, I would have said with the Kal V'chomer, for sure this is a tachshit. It's only, it's asi laharos ashirus, it has no other function at all. In any event, what saves us here from our kash is that if mishtameshes bechuliar is this kavanta, l'skiras chaluka, if she uses it as buttons, then it's a malbush. And not only is it a malbush, but she's allowed to go out mishtaram lechatchila, because we're not afraid that she'll take off this thing, you know, because she'll be uncovered. You know, the buttons will be uncovered. Okay, let's go on. Koveles. Again, Koveles, we said you're not allowed to go out and Rosh Hashanah. So what is this Koveles? I'm a Rav. Chumarta de Filon, which is translated here as a Kesher Mikesef Ozahav. Hasui Kein Ksharim Shel Kamios. Ubetocha Kesher Nosnin Shemen, Shema'urubo Bosem, Sherecho Orev Kmo Pilon, V'isha Sherecho Ra, To Enso Olea Bitzavara. So she wears this pendulum around her neck that's made of silver or gold, and she puts into it, into the hollow, as we mentioned earlier, these fragrant oils, which are called filon. And he says that this is like ksharim shel kamios. So we didn't get to ksharim shel kamios later on, but what we're talking about is this packet that has pilon in it, with a hollow pendulum, as we said before, and it's worn by women to cover over an unpleasant body odor. It's like a deodorant. So now this aromatic spice called pilon was put inside the pendulum. And this is going to be a violation of Meleches Hotzah. Mechein Omer Avasi Chumarta Defilon. And the question is whether this Chumarta Defilon is a violation of Shabbos. Tana Rabbana Lo Seitzei Bechoveles. And Rabbi Eliezer goes even to the other extreme, Yotza Isha Bekoveles Lechatchila. So we have three shitos. The first shita is Rabbi Meir, she's chayav achatas. The last shita, the most extreme on the other polar extreme, is Rabbi Lezer, she's allowed to wear this spice bundle. And the middle shita, the chacham of Pshara, that although she doesn't violate a doraisa, and in that sense, the Chachamim are agreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, but on the other hand, she's not allowed to wear it in Rishus Rabim, Midar Abbanon. But my Kamiflgi, how do we understand this Machlokas? Rabbi Meir Sovei Masuihu, and therefore, she violates the Doraisa of Hotzah, Rabbanon Sabri Tachshidhu, that this spice bundle is a Tachshit, and therefore, at least on a Doraisa level, it should be Mutter. But, Midrabbanan, it's Asur, because it's made, as we said before, this pendulum is made of gold or silver, and therefore, although for most women, maybe they wouldn't wear such an expensive pendulum, but Chazal hold that women who are in this category and they suffer from bad body odor, they do in fact wear this koveles, and therefore it's considered a lavush, so to speak. And now we understand the sheet of the Chachamim that this is not called a masa, because it's normal for women to wear this if they suffer from that problem. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, now we have a third shita. Man darkal mirme isha shrecha ra. If this spice bundle is worn by a woman who, this pendulum that has pilon in it is worn by a woman who's suffering from this disease, so to speak, of bad body odor, then lo shalfa umachve. So on the one hand, it's considered, like the Chachamim said, a levush. It's normal for a woman in that category to wear this. And on the other hand, we're not even afraid that she might take it off to show it to a friend, because then her body odor would sort of flow into the air. We're not afraid that she'll carry it for Amos and Rishus Rabin. So the Gemara now is going to quote another brisa that seems to present a stira to what Rabbi Eliezer said in the first brisa. Rabbi Eliezer poter bechovelas uvitzlochis shel palyaton. That with regard to this spice bundle, or that flask that she wears with balsam oil in it, Rabbi Eliezer says that she does not violate a doraisa, and that's the lashon poter. Poter means poter midoraisa v'yosem midrabbanan. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer said it was mutter. So Gemara says, lo kash. Rabbi Eliezer holds that she's allowed to wear this spice bundle, lechatchila. Haki koi ad Rabbi Meir. Haki koi a derabbanan. In the brisa in which Rabbi Eliezer is arguing with Rabbi Meir, then he's going to tell Rabbi Meir, at least be molded to me, that this is not a chiyuv chatas. When he's arguing with the Rabbanan, who admit that there's no chiyuv chatas, a takshit, so he tells them, which is really his true opinion, that it's mutul chatchila, ki koi ad Rabbi Meir di omer chayuv chatas, omalei potur. In other words, Rabbi Meir, wouldn't you admit that there's no chiyuv chatas here? And that's the brisa that states Rabbi Eliezer's opinion and that of Rabbi Meir, as the Gemara quoted earlier. So Rabbi Meir didn't say explicitly that he allows it, lechatchila, wearing these spice bundles. He's right now taking issue with Rabbi Meir. But ki koi adrabbanon, ti amri potter avalos. So the Rabbanon agree that on a deraisa level there's no violation of otzokos to takshit. Omar iu, he tells him no. Mutter lechatchila. I don't have to worry that she might take off this spice bundle because she needs it, so to speak, desperately. And here we turn to the Af Samach Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, "Umai, Rabbi Meir, where is this shita of Rabbi Meir found? And where is it that Rabbi Eliezer is arguing against Rabbi Meir, and the dispute is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer with regard to a spice bundle?" and the sheet of the Chacham is completely omitted. This Tanya, we have a Braisa. Lo seitzei isha b'mafteach shebiyada. A woman's not allowed to carry a key in her hand. If yotzes chayev eschatos, divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Eliezer poter b'choveles u'b'tzluchis shel paltion. And that's where Rabbi Eliezer is arguing exclusively against Rabbi Meir. And here Rabbi Eliezer utilizes the classic term of potter aval asur, but only because he's arguing against Rabbi Meir. Now, in the case of Mafteach Shebiyada, what was the havamin here? That we needed a vaisa to tell me that this would be a chiv chatos. I mean, what was the havamina that it would not be a chiv chatos, for which I need the braisa to teach me that it's a chiv chatos? So we go with the girsa here, the tosefta, and that is that the key is on her finger. Now she's actually wearing the key, and yet Rabbi Meir is teaching us that even though she's wearing the key, she's chayeves for hotzah d'oraisa a chatos, because this is a masa, and the same would be when she carries the, or I should say more precisely, when she wears the spice bundle. That's considered a masa. Now the Gemara says, kovelas mandekar shmei. You know, the Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Braisa mentions isha b'mafteach shebiyada. Rabbi Eliezer mentions kovelas and Lucas. There's no mention here of kovelas. In other words, had Rabbi Meir mentioned kovelas, it would make sense for Rabbi Eliezer to comment on kovelas. But it's a little bit odd that if Rabbi Meir didn't say a word, he didn't breathe a whisper about kovelas, that Rabbi Eliezer would argue with him against him again about kovelas. So the Gemara answers that chisure mechsura, that there's a piece of this statement of the Tana of Rabbi Meir that's missing, was omitted. V'alchi k'toni, this is how you read it. V'chein b'koveles, v'chein b'tzlochus shel paltion, lo teitzei v'imyotso chayeves chatos divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is explicitly saying that in the cases of koveles and tzlochus shel paltion, you're chayev chatos, it's considered a maso. And on that, Rabbi Eliezer poter b'koveles u'b'tzlochus shel paltion. And as we said before, in truth, if we want to be more precise about it, Rabbi Eliezer would allow this even lechatchila. Now the Gemara quotes the Hemshech of the Braisa, in which Rabbi Eliezer qualifies, and he says, "B'medvar mamurim, when am I going to say that there's no chiv chatos? That's only k'sheyesh b'hem bosem. Then you could consider it as a malbush, that she's wearing this because inside there is a spice that has a pleasant fragrance. Aval ein b'hem bosem, if there's no bosem inside, then chayeves." In other words, the pendulum, the pendant itself, is not considered a tachshit if it's empty, and therefore if you wear it outside, you're not wearing a lavush, and therefore it's a masa, and you chayev a chatos. So the koveles and the tzluchis themselves are really just kalim, they're not tachshitim. We thought that maybe it was made of gold, that makes it into tachshit. Now the Gemara's medayik, Omer Rav Adabar Rav Zoso Meres, from the fact that this Braisa tells you that if there's no bosom inside, then she's chayeves for the kli itself, for carrying the kli, and she brings a chatos. It would now, by implication, it would mean that Rabbi Eliezer holds that amotzi ochlim pochus mikashir bikli chayev. Now let's sort of give a bit of an introduction into what's going on. We have a case of a kli, and the kli is being used to carry ochlim. And the purpose of the kli is to serve for the ochel. The kli itself, and the hotzas kli, has no independent purpose or significance. In that sense, the Kli could be conceived, that's before we get to this sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, as Batel to the Ochel. Now the Ochel itself, in this particular scenario, is less than the Shear of Ochlin, as far as Hotzah is concerned. And we're going to learn soon exactly what the Shear of Hotzah is, but in any event, this Ochel is less than the Shear of Hotzah. And the Mishnah later on in Daf Tzadi Gimel is going to establish that in a case where the Ochel inside the Kli is less than the Shear of Hotzah, then you're not chayav for the Kli neither, because the Kli, as we said before, is batel to the Ochel. Its whole purpose is for the person carrying the Ochel. But Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. And we're going to have to see how we derive that conclusion from the case of Tzluchis Shein Bobosem. But in any event, the principle is going to be that Rabbi Eliezer views the Kli as a separate entity. And even if the Ochlin inside the Kli that he's carrying is less than a Shear, he's chayav for carrying the Kli. How do we derive this? I mean, Rabbi Eliezer never said this. We don't know explicitly Rabbi Eliezer argued against the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel. Deha, says the Gemara, ein bohem bosem kipochus mikashir bekli dami. The Gemara says that this pendant and its relationship to the bosem that's inside of it is equal to the relationship between the Kli that's carrying inside of it, Ochlin. And just like in the case of Hotzas Ochlin, if it's Pachas Mikashir, the Shear of Ochlin, generally speaking, is Krogo Geres, if these Ochlin are being carried in a Kli and it's less than a Grogeres, he would, according to the Mishnah, he would not be chayav for carrying the Kli. And in the case of Koveles, if you empty it out of its contents, then basically what you've done is you've made it into Ochlin of Pachos Mikashir. And if that be the case, he shouldn't be chayav for carrying the Koveles. And yet, Tani Chayeves, right? Rabbi Eliezer in this Brisa says that if there's no Bosem, then nevertheless, despite that fact, she's Chayeves. And that would mean that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Yechayev for the Otsos HaKoveles, and we don't say the Koveles is Batel to its contents, and if there are no contents in this case, it's completely insignificant, and it should be part of Hotzah, which is the way the Gemara understands the Sheet of the Chachamim in that Mishnah later on. And the Gemara rejects this. Let's not compare the case of a Kli that doesn't have any Bosem to it to a Kli that has Ochel in it, but it's Pachos Mikashir. Ravashi Omar, Bi'alma Eimelecha Potur. As a general rule, even Rabbi Eliezer would accept the Mishnah that the Kli is bottled to the Ochlin that it's carrying, and those Ochlin are Pachos Mikashir, less than a Gogeres, and your pot, the Kli is Tofil and Bottle to the very small amount of Ochlin inside of it. But Shiny Hacha, here in the case of Etzluchis, and the Koveles that we spoke about is different because Leisel Mamosha Klal, what's inside the pendant? What's inside this Kli? There's no Bosem whatsoever. And if there's no Bosem whatsoever, then it's impossible to say that within the context of this Hotzah, the Koveles or the Tzluchis is Batel to the contents of the Bosem. Because in fact, there is no Bosem inside the Kli. And therefore the Kli stands on its own as a separate entity, and it's a Masa, it's not a Takshit, and therefore if you carry it in Rosh Hashanah, even Rabbi Eliezer would admit that you're Chayav Achatos. Now, what exactly was the Havamina in the Gemara here, in this equation, before the Gemara rejects that equation with Rav Ashi, that if the Tzluchis, or this Kavelis, doesn't have any bosom in it, it's like the case of a Kli that has Pachos Mikashir Ochlin in it. I mean, Lechora, that analogy is not in place. So here we have a chiddush of Rashi, and I'd like to give a summary of it. He says that af esa koveles motzia, why is she carrying around this koveles, especially in light of the fact that she suffers from a bad perspiration body odor, and there's no spices inside of it. That sounds a little bit crazy. It's kedesha yoila ma'at reach and nispagba, which means that there is some sort of residue of the fragrant odor of the besamim, even after the besamim are removed. So some of the aroma clings to the walls of the pendant as a result of the spices that are normally there. So the Gemara thinks that that's like a minuscule amount of spices, and that would be similar to the ochel of pachas mikashir, and therefore it should be bottle. Uktani chayeves, and we don't say that the pendant is koveles or the sluchas is batel. And Rabbi Yehuda says yechayev for the hotzos hakoveles. You have to bring a chatos. Ein omrim. We're not going to say that koveles is tfela lemaata reach shesofug ba. Ba means in the walls of the koveles there's some minimum amount of fragrance. So therefore, we're going to derive the conclusion in the Gemara's Habmina before Rav Ashi that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if a person carries an ochel that doesn't have grogeris in it, he's going to be chai for the otzos kli, and the kli is not batel to the ochel amuot, just like it's not batel to the besamim amuot that is based on the, or generated by the ma'at reach, that sofug in the kofelis. And Rabbi Ashi rejects it. He says, no, lesser lima mosha klal, that you don't talk about a reach of bosem without the bosem. It's a non-entity, and therefore the kli, in this case the tzluchis, the kovelis, is not batel to nothing, to air, because the davar shein bo mamish. So this is where we're going to stop, and let's make a note of where we got up to here on daf samach beis amid beis. The two dots, which are, let's see, I would say about 10 lines down from the top, Vereshis Shmonim Yimshachu, and we'll start tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, with the Agadita, based on the Pasuk in Amos.